Hello and welcome back to Money Talks with Lucan District Credit Union. My name is Paula Maguire, the CEO here, and today I'm joined by our operations manager, Tracy Thunder.
Morning, Tracy. Paula.
And Tracy, you're also the money laundering reporting officer for Lucan District Credit Union.
That's correct.
So it's great that we can get you in here today because we want to cover in this episode something that's been very topical and in the news lately. If anybody saw the story there recently about Kerry, where over 60 young people were charged with money laundering after a large Garda investigation. So that's really the area we want to get into here. I suppose to kick off, Tracy, can you tell us a bit about our obligations in the credit union here under the Criminal Justice Act?
Yeah, the Criminal Justice Act 2010 states that all financial institutions are legally obliged to report any suspicious activity on members' accounts and customers' accounts. So we have to monitor transactions throughout the month, and any signs of any sort of suspicion, we would have to forward that on to the authorities.
Okay, so you don't need to have proof that there's, you know, illegal activity or anything going on. It's just the suspicion.
It's the suspicion. So that's our job. And once we have done that, we will forward that suspicion on to the authorities and they will further investigate those suspicions.
And in this case, who are would the authorities be?
They'd be the Fraud Investigations Unit and Revenue as well.
On
Garda Síochána, yeah.
Okay, so we have serious obligations there that we have to monitor this every month. And, I mean, obviously these cases would be the exception rather than the rule.
Thankfully, yes, yeah. They are the exception rather than the rule. But we do have very stringent monitoring processes in place, which ensure that we have to.
I suppose just to kick off and really get the information out to members, our listeners here, can you just tell us a bit about what money laundering is?
Yeah. Money laundering is the process that cleans illegally obtained funds. So that can be from drug dealing, from fraud, theft, so that they can be used now in the legal economy.
Right.
So they can layer up the transaction so they can lodge money into their accounts, small amounts over a period of time, and then further transfer it to different accounts. So kind of scuppers the audit trail as such, you know, makes it more complex.
So it's a way of kind of washing the money or laundering.
Well, that is,
it
literally
it look,
is.
To make it have the appearance of clean money, even though it was ill-gotten gains.
Yeah, well, that's it. It is laundering. It is washing the funds so that they can be used then in the legal economy.
And the flip side of that then, of course, is terrorist financing, which we also have to monitor. So that's the opposite.
It can be the opposite. These can be funds that are, you know, legitimate funds.
Yes.
But it's people funding terrorism. So it could be a business or somebody who has their own ideology about something going on.
Could be a charitable collection.
Could be a charitable collection, you know, a very profitable business. But they use their funds to
transfer onto terrorist organisations.
Yeah, to organise terrorist activity. Yeah.
So this is all part and parcel of the Criminal Justice Act 2010. And this was introduced to really clamp down on criminals being able to use the financial system for their own benefit.
And it has been very successful.
Hugely successful. And this is actually part of the issue. And this is how money muling has come about, because criminals are finding it increasingly difficult to open legitimate bank accounts or credit union accounts.
That's right.
They are instead turning to people that already have accounts. So this is where the money mules come in.
So they target certain individuals we would deem vulnerable. So they'd be younger people, students who would be tight for money, some of them, and would see this opportunity as, this is great now, this is a handy few bob for me. I don't have to do much. I just have to put this money into my account and transfer it on to another individual, and they're giving me a fee for this process.
Or just pass on their bank details.
Or give their online information, their passwords, their PINs. It's a huge problem. And this is why they're targeting people like this. So vulnerable people, people in receipt of, say, social welfare who wouldn't have as much disposable income as other people.
Yes.
And they'll offer them a fee for this transaction.
Okay, so it sounds like easy money for doing very little, really. Yeah.
Well, that's what it sounds like. And what we always say to people, if it does sound too good to be true, well, then it is.
So basically people are handing over their bank details. So they're either conducting the transfers themselves or they're handing over their bank card and online banking details to criminals.
Yeah.
And sometimes this can have the appearance of legitimate work.
Well,
you might see ads on social media saying work from home.
Yeah, a lot of people are targeted through social media and online, and they're offered this job as an agent.
Yes.
You know, you just do this and we need you just to put the money into your bank account for the moment until we give you the bank account to transfer the funds to.
Yeah.
That is a red flag.
And you keep a percentage of that.
Yeah, basically. you keep X amount.
So
give you
it looks
X amount.
Like easy money for very little work, which always appeals, I think, particularly to young people.
Yeah. we've always said, it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
And there's huge consequences for that as well,
Paula. That's what we'll get on to here now. Particularly these young people down in Kerry very recently. And I mean, that was a very public case, but it happens every day.
It does happen every day. There does seem to be a huge amount of young people in one particular school that were targeted.
Right. And some willfully, is it young people particularly that we're seeing?
The majority is young people. Yeah. Yes, it is young people. As I said, they're offered the fee to hold the money in their account and transfer it on to another account. As I said, the consequences are huge.
I know, and I think young people particularly don't think about those consequences, but they're very serious.
Yeah, some of them do think, some of them know what they're doing, you know, and there's others who just kind of turn a blind eye to it and say, well, look, I didn't really do anything. I just gave the man or the woman my details. I didn't know what they were going to do. But you are ultimately responsible for your account, whether it be a bank account or a credit union account. It is your responsibility. You don't share your details. You don't give passwords and PINs for your account. It is for you and you only.
So just to really drive home the point to particularly young people or anybody else listening here that might be able to share this information with young people or vulnerable individuals, as you outlined earlier, the consequences are that they could have a criminal conviction.
They will most definitely have a criminal conviction, which will prevent them from, first of all, it'll affect the credit rating going forward.
Yes.
It'll also affect their ability to travel. So
yes, young people don't think about that.
You won't get into the States. If you're in college and hoping to do a J1 one of the summers, you won't. You have no chance. You won't get into Australia or New Zealand.
Your movements
hard
really
enough
really
as it is to get into these countries without a criminal conviction.
Yes, you know. And people don't think about that. But also, I suppose, longer term implications for maybe anyone studying that wants to work in the financial services. That's a big no-no.
It's reputational damage.
Yeah,
because
due diligence has to be done on all employees, particularly as you go up the food chain, so to speak, and you become more, move into more management roles. The due diligence on people like that really steps up. So your long-term future career is at risk.
And people do not realise this.
Yeah.
You know, the consequences are huge. For a very small amount of money, these aren't huge lump sums that people are getting. It's a very small percentage, but they look at it as easy money.
Okay.
There's no such thing as easy money.
So we really would encourage any listeners here, if you have younger people maybe in college, or really speak to them, sit down and talk to them about this and just really explain to them the implications of them allowing others access to their bank account. So whether that's giving you money to lodge into your bank account to transfer on somewhere else, or handing them your bank details and your card and allowing them to use your bank account, even at that, you can still get your conviction, even though you didn't physically do it yourself. Yeah. But it's your bank account.
It's your bank account. It's for you and for your use only.
Yeah. So how can people best protect themselves, Tracy?
So what we would say to people is beware of any unsolicited emails, texts or any sort of notifications on social media offering quick cash for little effort.
Yeah.
Never agree to open a current account or a credit union account in your name to receive inbound payments on behalf of a criminal. Do not accept job offers asking you to use your account to transfer money. And never give your financial details to anyone. Your bank account is for you and for you alone and your credit union account.
So that's the key detail there, is how to protect yourself.
And as we said, acting as a money mule can damage your credit rating and you could face up to 14 years in prison.
Has there been any convictions that have resulted in prison time?
I'm not aware of any.
Well, I mean particularly here for young people.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of, but these are ongoing cases now that will be brought to the DPP with these young people in Tralee.
Yeah.
I mean, almost 70 children, 70 students in school, not necessarily in college. As I said, some willfully participated, others were a little bit more blind to the fact. But at the end of the day, it's their account.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as easy money.
And I'm sure they were all looking at what their cutout was going to be.
Well, I suppose they're looking at their friends, looking at the lovely runners they have or the lovely jacket. Where did they get that? And they go and tell them, all I did was act as, you know, I gave somebody my account and I had to mind a few bob for them for a certain amount of time and they gave me 10% of it. Mm. I just sent it on then to their bank account and then I have this 60 or 70 euro. So that's how I bought my runners, you know.
So the old Father Ted excuse that the money was just resting in
my account
isn't going to work in this case.
So
that's why we're doing this podcast, is because we want to get the information out there to the listeners, the members and the wider community about what money muling is and how you can best protect yourself so you don't get caught up, because at the end of the day it is a criminal activity and you, unbeknownst maybe to yourself or maybe without giving it too much thought, can suddenly become a part of the criminal underworld and processing the proceeds of criminal
funds. And that's what it is, you know, that is what it is. And it's not only this, it can lead to further criminal activity. If you participate in this, they'll, you know, these criminals might ask you to do something more sinister.
And, well, it means that they have leverage over you.
Yeah.
So they can actually say, well, you've been working with us for years and we'll report you to the guards if you don't do X, Y and Z.
There you go.
The same way they hook you into the drug scene and things like that. So to really protect yourself from being threatened and abused, I suppose, your account in this case, I mean, your bank account being abused, is just do not give your bank details to anybody. Your bank details. If anybody, be very wary of anybody asking you, can they temporarily use your account or could you give them or could you mine money for them? Be extremely wary of that and just say, no, I'm sorry, that's my bank account. I don't allow others to use it. Just be very blunt about it and go get a job in a shop or something if you're really stuck for a few bob. There is no such thing as easy or free money.
No, that is the key there. That is the, you know, the bottom line. There is no such thing as easy money.
Well, that's all we wanted to get across. Again, we just would say to the members or the listeners, sit down, talk to your nieces, nephews, friends, you know, share this information with them and make sure that everybody understands how they could end up with a criminal conviction for something that seems like a fairly simple piece of work. And it is damaging, particularly young people, but there are other vulnerable groups, like people new to the country that maybe aren't familiar with the system.
And they're targeted sometimes as soon as they arrive in the country and they don't know whether this is right or wrong. They think this is what happens. Sometimes they don't speak English very well, and that's what they're zoned in on.
Yes.
They would be deemed vulnerable people.
Yeah, so the criminals can spot the vulnerable people a mile away. Unfortunately, because they can't open an account anymore, it's become extremely difficult. This is the new way that they're trying to access the financial system to launder their funds.
Exactly.
Again, we just say to everybody, be very aware and be smart about this. And the simple solution to protect yourself is just say no and keep all your details very private.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
That's
great.
Thanks very much,
Tracy.
Thank you, Paula.
Short and sweet podcast today, but with very, very important information to get across. This podcast was produced by Lucan District Credit Union. Lucan District Credit Union is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Process.